Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
You probably remember that the text that we're dealing with right now in Colossians 3:13 on the subject of forgiveness is divided generally into two parts. The first part is a general admonition, and the second part is specific instructions. The text says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. That's the general admonition. And then it goes on to say, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And there are the specific instructions. Now, actually, over the last two or three broadcasts, we've been dealing with the first part, the general admonition, which, though it is general, it has an awful lot to consider. As we have considered the grace of forbearance and the grace of forgiveness and what forgiveness is and what it is not, those are all important matters. But now we need to get into the specific instructions. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. And so we're going to look at this, taking it apart, as we normally do, looking at every aspect of it that we possibly can, and then putting it all back together so that we have a comprehensive understanding of this subject of forgiveness as it is dealt with in this rich text from the Word of God. So that's where we're going on this Thursday, November 24. We're glad you're with us, and we're very grateful for those whose financial gifts enable us to do this. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Specific instructions. And we begin by noticing an offense to address. If anyone has a complaint. If anyone has a complaint. The word translated complaint is found here only in the New Testament. We don't have any other uses of this word. And it's a word that means a cause for blame. If anyone finds fault with someone else, whether finds fault with them because of what they've done that you are convinced is wrong, or what they have failed to do that they should have, and that, of course, is also wrong. In other words, what we call sins of commission and sins of omission. If anyone has a complaint, you are aware of something that's wrong that someone else has done or has failed to do that they should have. It's a reminder that Christians do sin, because he's talking to Christians and he's talking in the context of the brotherhood of the saints. He's talking about Christians and their relationship with other Christians. That's clear when you read this whole sentence, which is verses 12 and 13. I read it again. Therefore, as the elect of God, he's certainly addressing this to Christians. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, longsuffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. He's talking about our relationship to other believers in the body of Christ. And then he says, if anyone has a complaint against another, he's talking about another Christian. Christians do sin. If anyone has a cause for blaming another, if anyone has found a fault in another, if anyone is aware of a Christian brother who has sinned, yes, Christians do sin, you do, and others do as well. And so if you have a complaint against a Christian brother, you have a complaint against one another, the New Testament is filled with one another language. Our responsibilities to one another. If you would take all the one another's in the New Testament, and I did this one time many years ago. I've forgotten how long ago it was now, but I remember coming across once again, yet again, one of these phrases in the New Testament that told our responsibility as believers to one another. I remember just camping down on that in one sermon and taking all of the one another's in the New Testament and analyzing them all and bringing a sermon on all of the responsibilities that Christians have to one another. And here's one of them. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, he's obviously talking about a relationship with other Christians in the body of Christ. And he says these complaints, these areas of blame, these wrongs that we are aware that others have done, must be resolved properly for the church's welfare. If you are aware of an offense, here's how it must be addressed. If anyone has a complaint. But there's not only an offense to address, there's also an example to guide. How do you address these offenses? Well, consider this. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you. There's the example. Even as Christ forgave you. Because, as Christ himself has taught us, those who have been forgiven have an obligation to forgive others. He taught it a number of ways, but I'm thinking of that parable in Matthew chapter 18, and it's too lengthy for me to read the whole portion. It begins in verse 21 and goes down to verse 35, so it's a fairly lengthy section, but it's all about forgiveness. I'll read at least the beginning of it, and then we'll summarize. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? You recognize the same subject we're dealing with here in Colossians, the subject of forgiving, and specifically we're forgiving our brother. And so Peter understood the obligation to forgive, but he was uncertain about the extent of that obligation. He knew that he was obliged to forgive others who sinned against him, but he didn't know how many times he had to do that, if maybe there was a limit on this. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Evidently, Peter thought that was pretty magnanimous. Do I forgive my brother all the way up to seven times? That's an awful lot. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. 70 times seven. That would be 490, wouldn't it, if you were pressing this to exact literalness? But obviously that's not the point. If you're counting, here we are, 387. Whoops, there's another one, 388. Finally, 487, 488, 489, 490. Bang! Now I let you have it. I don't forgive you at this point. No. Christ obviously seized upon Peter's number, 7, and then multiplied it by 70 to give an answer that basically says the requirement is unlimited. You say 7 times, I say there's no limit. You don't stop at 7. 70 times 7. And then he told a parable. Therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants, and when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, here's where I will just begin to summarize, and basically, the king was going to throw him into prison because of this enormous debt, which he could never pay. And he pleaded with him to forgive him, and the king decided to forgive his debt. An enormous debt. An enormous debt. 10,000 talents. That's enormous. And then the one who had been forgiven went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he, we're told, laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." But he would not, and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Wow. This is pretty serious. That's just one of several times when Jesus said the same thing in different ways, that if we will not forgive others, then God will not forgive us. Now you think that through. You say, well, does that mean that if I don't forgive my brother, that I lose my salvation? That's what it sounds like in the parable here, that the king relinquished his forgiveness and now required the servant to pay the debt that he'd formerly forgiven him from. And that sounds like someone has lost their salvation. And so eternal security goes out the window on that one, if that's the proper explanation. But we know from other scripture that can't be the proper explanation. So what is another explanation that fits the parable appropriately, but interprets it in a way that is consistent with other scripture? Well, it's this. If you are unwilling to forgive others, you evidently have not been forgiven. You may have professed to be, you may have, as we would say, made a profession of faith. You have claimed to have been forgiven. You said you have believed in Christ and have received his pardon and have believed his promises of forgiveness for yourself. You've claimed that for yourself, but your unforgiving heart is the demonstration of an unchanged heart. Unregenerate people are unwilling to forgive, but God's people aren't like that. God's people have the mind of Christ. God's people have a new heart. God's people have a heart of compassion, of forgiveness, because God's people understand that as Christ has forgiven me, so I must forgive others. We understand that. We understand that. This example becomes a command to us. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Have you been forgiven? Then how can you withhold forgiveness to others? Because every one of us have been forgiven far more by Christ than we will ever be called upon to forgive in someone else. So, even as Christ forgave you, in that way, also freely forgive others. Here's an example to guide us, and it is a powerful example, and it is a searching example. And with that in mind, we will close the broadcast today and come back and talk about it again tomorrow. Please join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.